to the program, The Spirituality of the Catholic Church, as Father Paul Keenan teaches on God and man and the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And now, Father Paul Keenan.
I'm Father Paul Keenan. I'm Assistant Director of the Communications Office for the Archdiocese of New York. It's a great pleasure for me to be with you to share the spirituality of the Catholic Church, especially as it unfolds in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And in our past programs, we have been getting underway with the notion of faith, the notion of belief, the notion that we are called to something more than the random voices that often make themselves heard in our lives. We're called by a voice that comes from deep down inside us, from the very, very depths of our hearts and our souls and our being. The voice of God, the voice of the one who made us, the voice of the one who sustains us, the voice of the one who keeps us going and constantly calls us to be who we were meant to be. And we said that faith is really listening, and listening is related to the word obedience. The obedience of faith means, first of all, the audience of faith, hearing it, hearing our faith, and learning to hear it as a living thing. Fides ex auditu, to hear the language of faith as God speaks it through the events of our lives, to hear it as God speaks it through revelation, helping us to understand those events, to hear it as God speaks it through the apostolic tradition, through the tradition of the Church, and through the magisterium of the Church. All of these things there to help me to understand what is going on in my life. Do you ever ask that? What in the world is going on with me? What is going on with my life? I don't understand. I don't understand what's happening in my life. Well, that's what Revelation, the Scriptures, are about. It's what Jesus was about. It's what the apostles and their successors were about. And it's what the teaching authority of the Church is all about today. It has been down through the centuries, helping you and I to understand better what in the world we are doing in the world. And as I said before, it's not just that the Lord comes to me in my life and says, I'll tell you what you need to know, but I'm not going to tell you anymore. No, he gives us the whole thing. He says, I want to share with you my whole plan for creation. I just want to share everything with you because I love you so much and I want you to know. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Isn't that a wonderful invitation that we get? And so our faith comes from listening to this God who loves us so much, and from our making a response to him. And what is the response? The first response is simply to listen to what he's saying. You know, we often block listening in our relationships, and what we need to do with God is we need to do with people, human beings, is to listen. To stop talking, to stop thinking and objecting, and just simply to listen to the voice of God as he comes to us in all these different ways we've talked about. And it's why we keep saying in this series, and it's why the Catechism of the Catholic Church keeps saying, that faith is not just some kind of individualistic act. I mean, granted, I have my mission in the world, as we heard Cardinal Newman say. Sure, I do. I have my place, my unique identity. But in order to really understand that, I have to hear the language of faith as it is spoken by a community. We all know that when people are cut off from a community, how hard it is for them to be able to speak a language. When people are hearing impaired, they can learn to speak, but it's a struggle because they have to learn how people say words when they can't hear how people say words. Very often when we are faith impaired, we have stopped listening. We need to get back to listening again to the Bible, to God's revelation. We have to get back to listening again to the apostolic tradition of the Church. We have to get back to listening again to the teaching of the Church through the centuries and even today. And we have to get back to listening to the voice that lies so restless and so really deep down inside in the bottom of our hearts, where we are made in the image and likeness of God. We have to begin to interpret the events that happen in our lives according to those guides that God has given us. So we step into a community that for thousands and thousands of years now has listened and spoken the language of faith, so that we can become more and more adept in listening and speaking the language of faith ourselves. Speaking it correctly, speaking it authentically, learning to be what we were meant to be. Because, as I told you, throughout the Catechism of the Catholic Church, I think there are two teachings that just cut right across all four sections of the Catechism. You see them emphasized and repeated over and over and over and over again. One is that man is made in the image and likeness of God. And the other is that this God that we're talking about is a trinity of persons, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And in the next few weeks, you and I are going to be taking a look at the Father, at the Son, and at the Spirit, and saying, who are these people that we call God? Who are these persons that we call the Trinity? Who are these persons in whose image and likeness we are made? Remember I said, it's emphasized in the creeds, the Nicene Creed and the Apostles' Creed, that when we believe in, I believe in God, the Father Almighty. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life. And that little word in is so important in all three instances, because it doesn't just mean, oh yes, I believe that God the Father exists, and I believe that God the Son exists, and I believe that the Holy Spirit exists. But it means something much deeper than that. It means I believe in them. Because let's face it, just think about the human level. There are lots and lots of people that, well, we believe in them in the sense that we know they exist. I know they exist, but boy, I sure don't believe in them. And so when we say, I believe in you, I mean much, much more than I believe you exist. I mean, I really trust you. I really love you. I really care for you. I believe in you. And that's what we mean when we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. I believe in them. I trust them. I love them. I know I can give my life to them. I know. And actually, when you start to think about it, there's another meaning to this word in these creedal statements. Remember I said belief needs an atmosphere? Needs an atmosphere, needs a community of believers. But I also said, and the Catechism stresses this over and over and over again, that we can believe, or we can do anything spiritual, we can do anything at all, really, only because God has moved first. I mean, God gave us being, that's why we can do anything at all. But we couldn't love if God didn't love us first, and we couldn't believe if God didn't give us the grace to believe and the knowledge of what to believe. And so when I say I believe in God, I mean, yes, I believe He exists. And I mean, I trust Him and I love Him, but I literally mean I believe in Him, in that Trinity, inside that Trinity, that my belief is somehow a sharing with me on the part of God, of God's very insides. I mean, that's just another way of saying what the Trinity means. The Trinity is the insides of God. I mean, we always grope for the outsides of God, don't we? Oh, God, please give me a miracle. Please make this happen. Please let things be the way I want them to be. And what God is dying, literally dying, to share with us is his insides. And his insides are a relationship between three infinite loving persons in that one divine nature, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So, yes, I believe in God. I believe what he tells me. I believe he exists. I believe in him. I really trust and love him and want to give my life to him. But I believe because I am, through his goodness, placed within the atmosphere of who he really is, which is the love between three persons. Wow. When you stop to think about that, seems kind of special, doesn't it, to be able to say every day in the Apostles' Creed, when we say the Rosary, or to say on Sundays in the Nicene Creed, I believe in God the Father Almighty. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Wow, it says something very, very profound and special. How special it is when we say those things. Well, who do we believe in? We believe, first of all, in God, the Father Almighty. I believe in God. I believe in him. He's offered himself to me, and I believe in him. I believe that God reveals to me his name and his faithfulness. See, that's one of the things we find in Revelation, isn't it? We find that God reveals his name to me. That wonderful story of Moses and the burning bush where God tells Moses to go and get those people out of Egypt, and Moses knows that's going to be a chore, and he better have a credential handy in case he gets some opposition to this whole thing. And he says to God, well, please, who are you? What is your name? And God says, I am who am. He reveals his name. Sort of reveals it and conceals it at the same time, because it's a name unlike any other name. Because he's a person unlike any other person that we know about and experience in our human way. Certainly very different from anything that Moses knew. He reveals and conceals his name at the same time. But the point is, he reveals it. He is mystery. I am mystery. I am the living God. I am who am. He's merciful. He doesn't just hand his name over as some kind of cheap thing. But on the other hand, he doesn't hold it entirely back from us either. He is merciful. And he is gracious. He understands that Moses needs that name. He understands that Moses needs that credential. So he graciously allows Moses to know that he is who is, even though Moses doesn't really understand at the time what that means. I wonder if that same thing ever goes on in our own lives. You know, we don't very often hear a voice from a burning bush, but sometimes we do feel like the three men in the fiery furnace. Sometimes we are getting burned by life. Do you ever use that expression, I've really been burned? I'm really hurting, I'm really suffering. Boy, have I ever been burned this time. Oh, I trusted people once and I got burned. We say that. Well, what if within that burning, what if within that burning there were the voice of God somehow saying, I am who am. That down beneath the hurt and the pain, there's another reality that I want you to begin to listen to and to look for. Did you ever notice, did you ever look at a picture of the Sacred Heart of Jesus? I mean, we're talking about God the Father right now, but we can skip ahead to this for a moment. Did you ever look really hard at a picture of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and see that at one and the same time, that heart is a heart that is crowned with thorns, and it's a heart that behind that is burning with love? I wonder if that's a little bit of what Moses experienced there at the burning bush. The anxiety about what this was that he was experiencing, the anxiety about this call almost out of the blue to go and get those people out of Egypt, very perilous, dangerous call, and yet behind that, the steadfastness, the faithfulness of God. I wonder if those things could be a paradigm for us when we are burned by life, by people, by our personal histories. Is it possible that down underneath being burned by others, we could begin to hear another voice, a voice that says, come on now, there's more to life than this. You can be free from this. You can transcend this. Come on. Come on. Well, that's who this God the Father is that we believe in. God reveals to Moses, he reveals to us his name and his faithfulness. He is truth and he is love. My goodness, when I have been burned by life, I don't know what's truth anymore. I thought that person loved me, but they don't love me. They didn't love me. They were unfaithful and I can't trust them anymore. And maybe I can't trust anybody else either. Or maybe it's ourselves. I thought I was such a hot shot. I thought I was so good. I thought I had it all made. I thought I knew everything. And I really messed up in my life. And I don't think I can ever trust myself again. I don't know how God could ever trust me. Well, God sees it a little differently. God says, what you did was not the truth. Remember, the devil is the father of lies. So when we mess up or when others mess up in us, that means that what we've experienced is lies. We haven't experienced the truth about life. God looks at life and says, there's truth there. And that truth is that I have a plan for the universe and I have a plan for you and I'm going to reveal it to you. Now, if you'll just give me a chance and let me talk and let me tell you what the plan is, if you'll just listen, I can help you to see the truth, because the truth is really me. So just listen. God is truth and he is love. I sure don't feel very lovable sometimes, and I certainly don't feel like extending myself in love after I've been burned. But God says, come on now, I can melt all that down. I can melt all of that hardness in your hearts that other people have put there and you've allowed there and that you've created for yourself. I can burn that stuff down. Don't worry about it. Just let me do it. Just believe. Believe in God the Father Almighty. I made the heart, he says. I should be able to repair it. So what does it mean when the burning bush comes into our life in some way? What does it mean? Well, the Catechism tells us it means this faith of ours, this substance of things hoped for, this evidence of things unseen. This faith means coming to know God's greatness and majesty. Well, that's a pretty wonderful thing to know. Moses certainly learned that. And, you know, one of the things that we often feel when we're sinners or when we've been sinned against, when life has gotten too big for us and we're worried about how violent and crime-oriented and how terrible the world is and we feel we can't do anything about it, the point is we let ourselves get to feeling pretty small. And we need an image of greatness to remind us that greatness is possible. How many times in this day and age have you heard people say, there are just no heroes anymore. There's nobody out there that's big. Everybody has feet of clay. When I need somebody to look up to, I don't have anybody. Well, the answer that the church gives us and the answer that the Lord gives us is you've got God. What majesty, what greatness could there be that is greater than God or more majestic than God? When you need to get out of the pettiness of the world, when you need to get out of the pettiness of your own life, when you need to get out of the pettiness of the way others have been treating you and their narrow minds and all of those things, what can I think about? What can you think about? we can think about the greatness and the majesty of God. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Whence will help come to me? My help is from the Lord my God. When I behold the stars and the moon and all the works of your hands, what is man that you should care for him, the son of man that you should spare a thought for him, yet you have made him little less than a god? The Psalms tell us constantly, don't they, the greatness of God. And we need that. We need to know when we're feeling small that there is greatness out there. And once we know there's greatness, and once we know there's majesty, well, the anti-religionists are always telling us that that's going to terrorize us. Oh, I'm so afraid of this majestic God of the Old Testament. Well, the very next thing the Catechism tells us, after it tells us about the greatness and majesty of God, it tells us that faith helps us to live in thanksgiving. Now, that doesn't sound like being scared to death. When I'm thankful, when I know how great life can be and I'm thankful for it, it certainly doesn't mean that I'm scared to death. It means I'm grateful, I'm thankful, I rejoice, because I thought that life had reduced itself to smallness. And now I know that life is really big and wonderful, and I can be part of that bigness and wonderfulness in the world. Catechism tells us that we can know the unity and the true dignity of everything. That we can make good use of everything. And that we can trust God. We can trust Him, especially in our times of adversity. And it tells us, the Catechism, that the ultimate end of all of our lives is in the life of God. See, this majesty isn't just for somebody else and not for me. I think sometimes we feel that spirituality is a little bit like hitting the lotto. We go out and we buy a lottery ticket and we look in the newspaper and it's always somebody else that wins the lotto. And I think sometimes we feel, wouldn't it be nice if I could just win it once? You know, and sometimes I think we get to feeling that way about our spirituality. We hear about other people getting miracles and other people getting great things happening to them. And why couldn't it happen to me? Well, it does happen to me. That's the good news. It does happen to me. The ultimate end of my life is perfect unity with this God. It's the ultimate end of all our lives, who is so merciful to us. You are merciful to us, for you can do all things. I mean, He's the one who created the world. He's the one who really made it. And the world was created for His glory, and He is instead looking to reveal to us our possibilities in Him. Wow, what a wonderful thought that is. He wants to reveal to us His wisdom. He wants to uphold and sustain us. He wants to remind us that He created us out of nothing and that His whole life is given to loving and caring for us. We are made in His image and likeness. Because of Him, we have a dignity. Because of Him, we have unity. Our bodies and our souls are not separate things, really, but our bodies are temples of our souls. And our souls are meant to express their beauty in our bodies and in the way we act. Male and female, He created them, but He created them equal, but different. And that difference, that diversity, is part of the greatness too. We sometimes get scared to death by diversity and difference and don't know what to do about it. It's the reason we have all this racism in the world. God knows what to do with the difference. All we need to do is put it in His hands. He'll show us. He wants to reveal the plan for us of how man and woman should be and of how people from different backgrounds and races should be. And even that terrible division that was the fall of man, which divided everything and got us in terrible trouble. Well, the fall of the angels as well, before that even, but our fall, which created original sin and all this mess we have right now. God the Father is all about trying to heal that division, to heal it. And the whole doctrine of divine providence says that whenever that division manifests itself, God goes about looking for new ways to heal it. So divine providence means, it means what we ordinarily speak of as God bringing good out of evil. And another way of saying it, whenever evil rears its ugly head, God comes along and says, what can I do to bring more life and more grace and more abundance and more beauty and all of those things out of this evil situation that is here? So you see, God is constantly trying to heal us, constantly trying to help us. And when we say those beautiful words, I believe, we believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and of all that is seen and unseen, we're saying, I believe that he exists. We're saying, I really trust him and I really love him. And we're saying, I believe in him. I believe because of the wonderful atmosphere of love that he sets up around me. It's a wonderful protective thing that he gives to me. I believe in him and I live in him. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all living together, all involved with each other, and surrounding me constantly with all of their love. How special, how protected that makes me feel. Yes, I believe in this God, this Father Almighty. How wonderful he is, how wonderful he makes me feel.
Thank you for joining us today for the Spirituality of the Catholic Church with Father Paul Keenan. You may write to Father Keenan in care of the Office of Communications, Diocese of New York, 1011 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10022.